gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jim Ward is funny. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday, everybody. No, he was just looking online at the headline. What was it, Jim? Every 6 minutes, a child...
Every 6 minutes, a child is injured on the stairs. Well, help him. Get him an
He's
elevator.
Like the same child?
The same child is, keeps injured every
Fix
6 minutes?
Fix the stairs.
What's that wrong is, with you people?
That is bad parenting. Oh, he did it again. What? All right.
What time is it? Ah, time for Billy to go to the
again. After a while, you get kind of the rhythm.
Stop on the stairs.
At about 5.5 minutes, you go, you know what? We better go.
Sort of troll living under one of the stairs.
Child needs some help.
Hits him in the knees with a club every 6 minutes.
All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number to join the party. It's the usual Monday party. Rude Pundit, Eric Bowler. Much more coming up on the big show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, Jim, it's for you.
What?
Steve, right, Steph. On Friday, just got out of the dentist office while I was listening on my phone to your show during a teeth cleaning. The dental hygienist and I were laughing so hysterically during Jim's Queen of England bit that the dentist came over from the next office to ask if we were taking hits on the nitrous oxide. He was then That's treated great. To the George Takei Trump bit, whereby all three of us were laughing. I've never had so much fun during a dental visit.
Oh, good.
How cool.
Hooray.
Yay.
A little Jim skitch during your root canal makes it not so bad.
On the bright side, this vichyssoise is delightful.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for all your letters. I was on the Howard Kurtz, the CNN yesterday.
Yes, you were. You look delightful, and that video is up on your Facebook page.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Did they ask you any gotcha questions?
They're all gotcha questions.
Did you watch Game Change?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
That was great.
I did. I had a little Game Change party Saturday night, in fact. I thought what everybody said. I thought it was overly sympathetic to Sarah Palin. I don't get what they're...
I don't think so. I think, although I did find myself rooting for her when she finally got it right, which is kind of a well done.
And I was a little moved in the scene where she, got the phone call from her son in Iraq. Right. I mean, that was touching.
Well, that's Julianne Moore did an amazing job.
She
They went awfully easy on John McCain, I thought.
He
seemed like this nice, kindly, avuncular old guy, and they kind of left out the violent temper aspect of
Well, I was going to say, I'm sorry.
He must have blown a gasket at some point.
Yeah.
She said, what?
Oh. No, I thought that was the part I thought they left. We were all talking about. In my house, I thought that they left that out of both of the mean-spiritedness I thought both of them had. I mean, she was the one that wanted to be out there going, the president's palling around with terrorists. And
Well, she wanted to say that in the movie, but they shot her down.
Hmm. What?
They said, no, you can't talk about that. But then she went rogue.
She went rogue, as we know.
All around with tariff.
Yeah.
I thought it was an entertaining movie, and Nicole Wallace came out of it looking really good.
Yeah. Just stunned most of the time. Just that blank look in her eyes like, oh, dear God.
Are you insane?
Oh, my favorite was the look on Woody Harrelson's face as Steve Schmidt when she says, well, we just call the Queen. We've always had a great relationship with the Queen there in England.
It was mostly a movie about Steve Schmidt.
Yes. He's just like, okay. You know the Queen's not in charge, right? Oh, okay. Oh, who is? That was my favorite moment. Oh,
who is? Freddie Mercury?
Who is, Dan? Freddie Mercury's in charge. All right. Lots of congratulations on the new current TV gig. It looks like a lot of thingamahoozles are in. So it could be close to when we're on the TV.
Well, those were in. On Friday.
Yeah, there's cameras and lights. And
you just didn't notice.
We finally got a fourth microphone after 8 years of asking.
And
look
a button.
That.
So you can actually control the...
and a cough button.
You need a cough or need it.
Wow.
Yeah.
The magic of television. Wow, we...
You don't have to point at Chris and put the sign across your throat.
Stop. Turn off the
I'm
mic.
I got a cough.
Paul and Susan write, Steph, on your new Current TV gig. Congratulations on the upcoming new show on Current TV. As part of the transition, I suggest you have someone working the Chiron machine to enhance the video. For example, how about Jim Ward? Had Thai food last night. Didn't end well. Or, let's see.
Stephanie Miller.
Publisher Box Wine Quarterly. Thank you for your visual suggestions.
By the way, there's a new Twitter feed called Jim Ward Excuses, and each day it publishes a new excuse for Jim being late.
And I was early today.
Yes, you were. So, you were very early.
I know. It throws us all off. Maybe we should just get the Chiron department ready for the missing space where Jim's supposed to be and the reason why.
Abducted by aliens. Again.
Alien anal probe this morning.
Yeah. Or ice on the window.
Yes.
I announced Friday I would like to hire Marcus Bachman as my stylist / choreographer.
Super. Thanks for asking.
For the new, we do some chair dancing.
I'm super.
We need a choreographer.
Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super.
And I am going. They want me all natural in the baseball cap and workout clothes.
Baseball clap?
Cap. Cap? No clap.
No clap.
Specifically, no clap. There's a morals clause in my.
Well, there's an excuse for being late.
Contract.
I'm
late. I have the clap. People still use that? That seems like an old-timey VD.
Clap on, clap off the clap.
No. Do they even use the term VD anymore?
No.
I don't think so.
No. My knowledge of sex is based on my 8th grade health class. I have no I have no real world experience to really know.
The movie says you have a social disease.
That's a pretty antisocial disease once you get it.
Didn't I make a joke about an IUD or something?
Yeah.
Contraceptive that no one has used since 1970.
Like, weren't those outlawed in 1974?
What do I know?
That's true.
The last time I saw penis, I don't know.
You may have an IUD that's still in there. Who can say?
Who can say what's in there?
You have an IOU in there.
Someone send Dr. Leakey in. What is in there, for God's sakes? The Ark of the Lost Covenant.
What?
How did that get in there?
A Pontillo brother left an IOU in there.
Sorry, I was incorrect. Not an IUD. All right. Jeremy in Minneapolis. Mama, just curious, if Marcus is your stylist, those black hats with white writing, is it bone white or winter white? I think Marcus is the only married straight man that knows
probably,
what color bone white is.
It probably depends on how long ago you washed it, what color white it is.
Bone.
If you wear it to spinning class, it's sort of
beige. Sort of
beige.
That's the thing that popped out. That was that story about how he picks out Michelle's pantsuits, but that was the thing that jumped out at us. It was fabulous, and it was in bone white, which I'm just saying... Not a lot of straight guys. I'm just guessing. In Macy's going.
This is winter white. This is not
I
bone.
Specifically said bone. Who do you have to get bone around here? All right. Oh, and Chris and Yankton. Oh, so Friday, Current was in here shooting promos, commercials, something. I was here for. I just left. 5 minutes ago and came back. I don't know. I've been shooting photos and promos.
We missed the dance rehearsal.
We left 2.5 hours after you. So.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Chris and Yankton wrote on Friday, what's with the people wandering around your studio Friday morning? Were they surveying the space to install a stripper pole for the Current TV gig or a new spanking machine or whatever it was you had at the previous gig?
There's really no room.
We had all of the above at the previous gig.
We did. We started this show, some people may or may not know, at the Playboy studio where we had a stripper pole and a spanking
and
machine.
And various toys of both genders.
Not just
studio,
any spanking
around.
Machine, the Spankmaster 2000. For those of you
which
that
is much better than the Spankmaster 1999.
And Jim, I apologize once again for the day I set it on high. I had no idea.
Had recalibrated.
Apologize.
There was also a filthy imitation leather couch.
Yes.
Straight out of the Bill O'Reilly porn novel.
Idea for his porn novel. And the break room was delightful because the TV had 32 channels of porn on it.
Yeah, if you think Jim's late coming back from commercial breaks now.
Yeah.
It took me an hour to get coffee.
And it was right across the hall there.
Okay, Jim, I think you got cream now. That's good.
Oh,
dude. Back in the studio. It's time for a sketch.
Jim was our screener back then, too.
Hi, right. You're calling Stephanie Miller? Okay, you're through.
All right.
Yeah, good enough.
All right, good. Close you're
enough.
On.
Where are you calling from? I don't care.
Yeah.
I wonder if Dick and Dayton is still listening.
Hi, Dick and Dayton.
Hi, Jim.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you?
Okay. All right. Hey, what's the matter with Kansas? They voted for Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
That's another surge. Another Santorum surge, everybody. Hazmat suits on. Okay. And so tomorrow, it's like Crackerland week. Tomorrow is Alabama and Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, Mitt, he loves grits. He's home.
Turn it up.
Keep on trying.
I know it's an away game, but I'm trying.
Scrambling now to get a win.
And my friends, I hope Santorum will remember.
Losing votes to Rick Santorum.
A Southern man, don't know how to Google anyhow.
If I lose Alabama to him once again, I think it's a sin.
Oh, but not a Catholic sin.
Sweet home in Alabama.
It's so sweet here in Alabama. This is wonderful.
Where the trees don't block the view.
The trees and the grits are just the right height, my friend.
Sweet home Alabama.
And I love the Muscle Shoals, especially the Inland Shoals.
Lord, I'm pandering to you. Don't you know it's true?
Alabama. Oh, it's wonderful. I can't wait to get my Ellie's this and that store and see some plastic floral arrangements. Can I call you Bubba? Is it okay to call you Bubba? How about that crimson tie? Now, was Bear Bryant a real bear?
Werewolves of London. It's the same chord structure as Werewolves in London.
That was good. Yay,
he
Mike and Holly.
He probably does think Bear Bryant is a real bear.
Yeah.
All right. Let's.
He was a football coach, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, dear God.
Well, I saw the movie.
Oh. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, off to a rollicking Monday start. And it's somebody's going to be president of Crackerland this week, so it's an exciting week. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, the Rude Pundit coming up right after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This is we're straight out of Crackerland, where their Republicans are campaigning.
Hmm.
Gingrich and Santorum battle for GOP votes in the Deep South. I know this will come as a shock to many of you. Newt Gingrich, going a little racial, seems like.
Yeah, fair.
Very subtle. Subtlety, of course, is strong suit.
Wow.
As it was in South Carolina. Wow-wee. I hadn't seen this ad. Have you seen the provocative new Gingrich TV ad airing in Alabama? Gas prices, a narrator says, didn't go down when Obama bowed to Saudi oil princes. It showed an image of...
That was Bush.
No.
Kissed him on the mouth.
No, I think he stuck his tongue in his ear while he was holding his hand. That's different. Shows an image of President Obama, a Christian, some believe, nevertheless, to be Muslim. Some in Alabama.
Some,
right. Is what they
some
mean.
Say.
Yes. Bowing ceremonially to Saudi King Abdullah, who was wearing an Arab headdress and robe. Mm. Okay, the ad goes on to show a white man with his hands up as if being mugged at gunpoint, with an unseen assailant poking a gas pump into his back.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing the implication is it's the black guy in the White House. The Gingrich 250 plan... Because gas will be $2.50 when he's president.
Uh-huh.
Probably
sure.
Before the inauguration is over. The Gingrich $2.50 plan stops the great gas holdup and puts money back in your pocket, the narrator said of the House Speaker's pledge to.
Did you realize the president has nothing to do with fixing gas prices? I mean, this is a survey from ABC. Says his approval rating on handling. Where is it? Americans by abroad, 65-26% disapprove of how the president is handling the price of gas.
Well,
that's the wrong question.
And
assumes that he had something to do with it.
Right.
Weren't Republicans telling us that the president has nothing to do with gas when
Bush was
gas
in charge?
Prices were shooting up under Bush?
Right, of course.
That presumes that Fox reporter doofus that asked the president, some say, Mr. President, that you want gas prices to go up to wean us off.
But this is what I'd
oil.
Expect from a Fox question, but this is ABC.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How is the president handling the price of gas? I feel like it needs to drill more. 350% more ain't enough. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, speaking of polls, you know the good news is they're going after each other on all these social issues as they go through the South, and it just, they're losing women left and right as they go.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about this stuff. It's a... new nonpartisan poll suggests that Republicans are the ones who have been hurt as they kept the issue alive, all these social issues, contraception, abortion, blah, blah, blah. New York Times CBS poll in mid-February showed women who in January poll had disapproved of Mr. Obama's job performance by 48% to 46%, now approve of him 53% to 38%. Yada, yada, yada. I mean, there's a whole story in the, I think it was the New York Times yesterday, centrist women tell of disenchantment with the GOP. It's that, you know, it's that mushy middle that they always talk about in elections.
How
so
long
much.
Before the Republicans decide to take back the women being able to vote idea?
And Rush
that.
Limbaugh being so helpful as the head of the Republican Party. Somebody in the, Ms. Russell, quoted in the New York Times, we all agreed that this seemed like a throwback to 40 years ago. Yes. She's a retired teacher from Iowa City who describes herself as an evangelical Christian and old school Republican of the moderate mold. Just 2 weeks ago, she had favored Mitt Romney for president. Not anymore. She said she might vote for President Obama. What? I didn't realize I had a strong viewpoint on this until these conversations, Ms. Russell said. As for the Republican presidential candidate, she added, if they're going to decide on women's reproductive issues, I'm not going to vote for any of them. Women's reproduction is our own business. Well, thank you, sister. Republican voters, evangelical Christian, just saying. Thanks again, Rush. I may have to send him some more pro flowers. Type Stephanie in the box. skipping down on what appears to be an abrupt shift, some Republican-leaning women like Ms. Russell say they might switch sides and vote for Obama if they turn out to vote at all. The sudden return of the culture wars over the rights of women and their place in society has resulted, the women said, in a distinct change in mood in the past several weeks. Yeah, they lost that battle the last time.
Yeah.
Trying to resurrect the culture wars are just... The latest comments from the Republican candidates and in the right-wing media aimed at energizing the party's conservative base have been enraging to some women. After Rush Limbaugh, blah, 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 slut prostitute. Some women were critical of Mr. Romney's tepid response. That's what I said on CNN yesterday.
Wow.
It's not just what he said. It's that, like, clockwork. They all either defended him or... That was the best Romney could do?
It was a knee-jerk reaction.
Oh,
yeah.
I wouldn't have used
Romney.
I would have used different
offered
words.
Up a tepid response. That's so unlike him.
It's normally so
normally fierce. Lukewarm, at least.
Yeah. But that was what I was saying is worse, is how pathetic it was. And Santorum was worse. He's like, oh, he's an entertainer, and oh, well. He's such a scam.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Say no more.
Let's see. The president finished ahead of Mr. Romney among all women by 57% to 37% in this latest poll. He held much the same advantage over Santorum. So this whole, war against women, culture war, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Not so much. Not playing so well with the women in the middle that they need to pick up in this election. All right. So lots to go. Root Pundit with some great stuff as usual this week. Oh, you're staring at me like I've...
No, the clock is also in your general direction, so I'm looking at the clock.
Oh, pardon me. I thought you were looking at me lovingly.
No, not really.
All right, he watched Game Change as well. We have that and, of course, the Crackerland primaries this week. Much more to talk to Root Pundit about next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's just, I'm beautiful and I'm bright and I deserve better.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. So I sent you and Jim and Rebecca a group text inviting you to my Game Change party.
I got it.
Saturday
Never got
night.
It.
Yeah, Jim says he doesn't read text.
It's not even on my phone.
Rebecca says she doesn't get reception and you said you were going somewhere else.
Yep.
If one were of a conspiratorial nature, one might think some people don't want to spend extra time with me. It's curious.
I spent
excuses.
I spent a lot of time with you on Friday.
Yes, you did. You're like, what are you kidding me?
Actually, probably should have been there because they showed the night, that we spent in your living room watching Obama kick McCain's ass.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly.
Yeah. I remember Karl Rove.
And the fact that you've been invited back after launching missiles at my flat screen TV.
That wasn't then. That was back in 2004.
It was
just a magazine.
Okay.
You can't get much penetration with a magazine.
Excuse me?
They're not very aerodynamic.
Speak for yourself.
The magazine, I guess. But
What did I mean by that?
I have no idea.
Let's get I'm getting rude.
Papa, the rude pundit.
Is that how you got the IOU up there?
I know it's Cosmo.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds is up there somewhere.
Good morning, rude pundit.
Good morning.
You see the effect you have on us before you even get here.
We're already being rude.
Wasn't the IUD the thing that looked like a crab claw or something that would...
Yes. It looked like the most awful thing in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like some kind of medieval torture device.
Yes.
Well, it's not as bad as an IED. You don't want one of those.
No. It was, I think it was at a Long John Silver's in 1979 that something got up there, and I don't know what. Now...
But you get great TV receptions.
Yeah, we always have you stand near the TV. So
I didn't think I had HBO East, and I do. Okay. All right. Rude Pundit, did you watch Game Change?
No, I was at a Black Keys concert.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
Really. You know what? I read the book. I was there for the election. I don't. First of all, I don't want anything that's going to make me even feel vaguely sympathetic for Sarah Palin, because it was her decision to get into the race. So you know what?
She said yes. You're absolutely right.
What
she
I mean.
Said yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's just the ego and the kind of, you know, that exactly that whole part of it. They make it look like this poor victim. You know, like, oh, look
right.
what she got pushed into and she wasn't ready.
But
it's what's terrifying is the thing we all knew, Rude, is that you go, wow, John McCain put this country this close to that. A heartbeat away from the presidency. I mean, that's what's terrifying is, you know, it was a game to them.
Yep,
they're like, oh,
was.
We got an actress. Let's give her some lines. It's like, oh, my God.
Right, right.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, and the book actually is pretty decent about conveying that desperation and irresponsibility that was part of the decision that and how shocked everybody was. And,
well, it also speaks to what they thought of that one. They thought he was just a, you know, a huckster or something, and they could put her up against him. And, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was all, I mean, that was what to me, the story was really about, was it was all about winning. I mean, which, of course, politics is always about winning, but in this case, they really did put the country's best interests aside to go, it's all about winning, it's the Hillary year, we got to get a woman, and they just, because the fact is, they go, oh, well, you know, the poor thing, they only gave her 5 days of, you know, to prepare. It's like, you can't prepare someone to have an intellect and an experience they don't have, right? I mean,
right.
Like,
but
10
again,
days would have been better?
Again, right. But I also think, again, I don't want to take away her power to make a decision about her life. So anything that sort of distracts from that, I don't care. She decided, she put herself out there. She has profited mightily by doing it.
Right.
And so any
complaints. By the way, right, I mean, that's the thing that I think you've pointed out, too, that I think we talked about on CNN, is that, and I think even Howard Kurtz brought this up, there is a difference between Sandra Fluke, who is a private person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, she decided to, who was it, Michael Medved was on, and he goes, oh, well, she decided to be a public figure by testifying. Oh, really? So you deserve to get called a slut and a prostitute for 3 days because you decide to testify? That's not the same thing.
She showed up.
As Sarah Palin, right?
Right.
Had it coming.
And you know, this whole thing about her being an activist for years, you know, yes, she was involved in a pro-choice group when she was a student at Cornell. And, for instance, when there was a prominent pro-life group that was having a rally there and was spreading all kinds of misinformation about reproductive rights, the newspaper interviewed her, and her one remark was, we would really like to have a reasonable dialogue with them. Oh, my God.
What a slut.
I know. You know, I can't tell you how many reasonable dialogues I've had with sluts over the years.
I mean, but that's what I mean. They always do this dumb analogy game, don't they? I think Bill Maher, I mean, I get his point, too. First of all, he's on HBO, as he pointed out. He doesn't have sponsors. You know, he's a comedian. I mean, or as he said, I'm a potty mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think... But I also think that's the big difference. Sarah Palin was running. When you put yourself in, you're a powerful person. You put yourself in the arena. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And you know, she is a moron. And I don't think it's a sexist thing to call a stupid person stupid. Yes, there's other things Bill Maher said, of course, but yeah, he's a potty mouth. He's going to use bad words. I get attacked for using those words all the time. However, I tend to use the C word referring to both men and women.
Yes, you do. And you do it in the most poetic way possible, and I love you for it.
So, yes, exactly. I do. I'm using the British version of the C word.
Well, you remind me of, you remember Bill Maher's old joke about, you know, the when they said that was so politically incorrect on his own show. He's,
right.
he's like, yeah, who could have seen that coming?
Right.
It's like it's
right.
like someone reading you going, that is so rude.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
So you, I love that you have a piece about, because we do hear this every year. You say you've heard it repeatedly, no? How this year is the most important presidential election in the history of elected elections ever electified.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's a big lie, as it almost always is. What the smart Republicans know at this point is simple. One, Obama's going to win. Two, really, that ain't so bad for the country. By the way, frightening Rude Pundit and George Will agree on this point.
Yeah.
As you say.
Yeah, because they should be concentrating right now solely on trying to staunch whatever damage is going to happen to them because of Mitt Romney dragging down the entire Republican ticket, and because that's what's going to happen. And when you hear anybody, any reporter, I was listening to Jessica Yellen, I think, on I forget what show she was on. She was on The Point or something on NPR. And, she, you know, here's the CNN reporter who's got a vested interest in keeping the storyline going about the Republican nomination. And on this show, she just flat out said, oh, no, Romney's got the nomination. I mean, there's just sort of no way around it. But, no, we got to keep this drama going. As you said, we've got Southern primaries. You know, we got to make sure that has a storyline and that becomes the all-important Mississippi primary.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you wrote a great piece about Texas, because as I've been saying, Rush Limbaugh is just helpful, but he's really just the face of a party that is behind these policies that are a constant war on women, right?
Right. The fact that these policies end up shutting down clinics that do the vast amount of work what they do is not abortion, and in fact have nothing to do with abortion services, get damaged, and so it damages the health of women.
Yeah. Well, as you point out in, you say one of two Planned Parenthood clinics in Brownsville, Texas, which is on the border with Mexico, closed last October as Texas started getting funding for any program that provided money for women's health. Because money went to Planned Parenthood, the roughly 1,000 patients' records, almost all low-income women, were moved to the last Planned Parenthood office in town. That clinic, while providing the morning-after pill, does not offer abortion services. Anyway, but, I mean, what's going on is unbelievable. You say because some Planned Parenthoods do offer abortions, the Texas legislature and Rick Perry have decided to stop accepting $35 million in federal aid from the Medicaid Women's Health Program because Planned Parenthood cannot be barred from receiving funds. I mean,
right.
And as you sum it up, which means quite clearly and explicitly that women will suffer for the crime of being poor in Texas. Everything's bigger there, even the ishness.
Yeah. Right. And it's absurd because Brownsville, just as an example of a rural Texas community, it's women's health service for their community health center is already overwhelmed. 7,700 patients for two doctors. And now, if the other Planned Parenthood closes, that means that the 1,000 that were at the one that already closed, plus probably another 1,000 will try to get help at the Brownsville Community Health Center. This is outright class warfare is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's as clear as any, and it's actual physical warfare. It is actually taking itself out on the bodies of women.
Well, I was quoting this piece, Rude, and I don't know if you saw it in the New York Times, I believe, yesterday, about centrist women disenchanted with the GOP. I mean, this is exactly what's happening. I love this part. The stance particularly vexes Meredith Warren. She's talking about Santorum in particular, talking about, I mean, just these social issues that are, he's arguing in speeches that single motherhood increases a child's chances of poverty-related problems. That stance worries Meredith Warren, a Republican strategist in Massachusetts. She said, guess what? There are a lot of single moms out there. That's reality. I don't think he does himself any favors with denigrating that situation. She said her job has not been made any easier lately. A lot of my younger friends are Democrats. It's hard for them to understand how, as a woman, you can be a member of the Republican Party. So, I mean, whether it's the candidates or Rush Limbaugh, they're doing our job for us.
Right. Yeah. No, they're totally turning that tide. And, I mean, you have... You have, I think there's a retiring New York legislator who's Republican, who's saying she's supporting Obama because she because of the GOP's stance on women's issues now. You know, you can't turn back the clock, and that's what they want to do. You know, they don't want to conserve what exists. They want to actually turn it back.
So what happens in Crackerland this week? As we like to say, we got Alabama and Mississippi coming up tomorrow.
I think that Santorum and Gingrich split the Yahoos in Alabama, and that Romney just flat out wins Mississippi.
Mm.
You know why?
Why?
Because he's got, and this is true, Jeff Foxworthy is appearing.
Yes,
with
I just read that while you were talking. I just read that online.
Yep. Jeff Foxworthy is going to show up. They're going to go to a place called Shaggy's in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Oh, Shaggy's?
Oh, Shaggy's. Today. Oh, in 15 minutes it's going to happen.
Oh,
so,
you might be a redneck if...
Yeah.
You might be a redneck.
Yeah,
well,
you're not
a redneck if you vote for Mitt Romney.
If you there vote for whoever Jeff Foxworthy tells you to.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
just might be a redneck. All right. Rude, great stuff as usual. RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Oh, and let me also thank
yes.
you for coming on to my podcast, Cheater and the Rude. Last week.
Aww. Yeah, that was incredibly rude, wasn't it?
It was the filthiest stuff that I think I've ever heard you say.
I know. I was liquored up and podcast.
Can one find that in an archive somewhere
Let's
online?
Hope not.
Yes, I you know what? I will post it's at the Progressive Radio Network, I will also post it on my webpage blog today.
Great. There goes the current deal. All right. Favors for friends. All right. Love you, Rude.
Bye.
All right. Normally, I'm good at tanking my own television career. Okay. All right.
Were you as rude as he is?
Yeah, worse. Thanks for shining a spotlight on that. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Eric Bollert from Media Matters coming up at the top of the hour to co-host Right Wing World. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. John in Ithaca. Hey, John.
Hey, Steph. When are you going to come up here? We had Bill Press last week.
Oh,
we're dying to have you up here.
Oh, I know. I got to get back. We were in Syracuse for Sexy Liberal not too long ago.
Yeah,
but,
I know. We missed you. Hey, so I am a former CEO, former management consultant. I've been putting my very useless skill set to work on the Republicans.
Yes.
Here's my theory. So there's no way they're going to get any independent voters at all in this election with this war on women. There's just no way.
Right.
And they're losing 50% of the women. So I think I figured out what their strategy is.
What's that?
If they eliminate the right of women to vote, they may have a shot.
There you
That's
go.
What I was
saying
earlier.
That's
yeah.
probably next. That's probably next. By the way, I was reading, I just can't get enough of this New York Times story because this is exactly it. This is the crux of this whole issue. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Oh, Deborah Stevens.
Please and thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. A self-described dyed-in-the-wool Republican said she felt hopeless. I'm looking for a candidate that will be honest, that will come out and say, yes, I support women. I want you advanced and not trampled upon, said Ms. Stevens, 63, who lives near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I want answers desperately. I want a candidate to tell me I'm not overturning Roe v. Wade. It's there. Leave it there. Ms. Russell, who changed her political views at the baby shower, said she was impressed with how Mr. Obama handled his administration's compromise over the much-debated birth control policy, saying, I think he's more of a women's candidate. Mr. Romney's reaction to Mr. Limbaugh's statements about the Georgetown students cemented a negative view of him. I expected him to have the guts to stand up and say what Rush did was wrong. Wrong, 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 in every sense of the word, wrong. A rally for women's rights in San Diego on Thursday drew Jessica Lopez, 27, a registered independent, who said she voted for President George W. Bush. Ms. Lopez said her choice this year became clear amid the Republican debate on contraception and abortion. This has really energized me that I need to get involved with the Obama campaign. Ms. Lopez said the GOP has never been so clear about their agenda for women. I'm afraid if we get a Republican president, my health will be up to their personal discretion. Thank you. Happens, you know, privacy, for God's sakes. This, by the way, Kelly in Illinois writes, Steph, My 14-year-old daughter is on birth control pill from the chewable form because she is autistic and cannot change a pad by herself. I'm sure I'm not the only one. All the developmentally and physically challenged girls out there, they don't recommend hysterectomy till 18. What do you do till then? Well, there's a whole host of really private reasons between a woman and her doctor why they may need a certain kind of medicine. I mean, that's exactly why the government doesn't belong in those kind of decisions. David in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, David.
Good morning, Mama.
Come on.
It's amazing to me how the GOP in the last 20 years or so has had this need to find a villain. They're always going to find someone to go after, someone who is doing a bad thing. Their religious fanaticism has become so insane. They're so sanctimonious. We're the good people. They're the bad. But there's nothing from a rational standpoint that's attached to it. And any kind of religious zealot basically doesn't need any kind of rationality. It's dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded by it. How can they not be paying attention to the realities of our culture? I mean, not even in the least.
Yep. No, that's what I'm saying. Just out of touch, particularly when the economy is really the issue, I think, in this election. Oh, by the way, good news for America, bad news for Republicans.
What?
President Obama hailed news Friday the economy added over 220,000 jobs in February.
So, it's the Bush recovery.
It's the Bush recovery from the Clinton-Gore recession.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Mittens on the campaign trail.
This president has not succeeded. This president has failed. And that's the reason we're going to get rid of him in 2012.
2012? That's this.
We're in 2012 now.
Yeah, mint.
Yeah.
Mint.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
I meant way in the future in 2012.
Is this mint trying to act? Southern. Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to wince preemptively.
Okay. Do it.
I got started right this morning with a biscuit and some cheesy grits.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I do have to say cheesy grits are good.
Mm.
However.
Did you wash them down with coffee? Oh, no, I guess that
would. Oh, I guess not.
No.
Okay. All right. Newt Gingrich on the subject of grits.
I figure if you don't understand grits, there's a pretty high likely don't understand the rest of the South either. So,
said the guy from Pennsylvania,
from Washington,
he was born in Pennsylvania.
Was born in Pennsylvania.
I'm pretty sure.
I was not aware of that.
I was pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he was. Huh. I'll look that up.
Nudie,
if we can win Alabama and Mississippi Tuesday night, we will reset the campaign.
It's
certainly not a Southern accent he's got.
You can tell that his campaign is really running out of money because he is really poorly lit in all of his last.
Oh, and he's not someone that
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Good lighting.
No,
he's not at all.
His natural beauty shines through.
They had
sanctuary, sanctuary.
Yeah, they had to fire the makeup person as well. He's very blotchy.
Yeah,
a
that was
very,
the,
very blotchy
that
man.
That was the Politico headline. Signs of stress in Newt's campaign. There are fleeting moments when it appears the campaign, and perhaps even Gingrich himself, knows a big decision is looming when Alabama, Mississippi voters head to the polls tomorrow. Publicly, Gingrich is unwavering. He's in this for the long haul. We'll clearly do well enough to move on after Tuesday. I think there's a fair chance we'll win, he said on Friday. But I just want to set this to rest once and for all. We're going to Tampa. Newt, he's going all the way there.
Was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
There you go. Thank you, Jim. But as the ex-speaker vows to stay at the course, signs of stress beginning to show in both the candidate and the campaign on Thursday morning in Jackson, Mississippi. That's the largest city there, capital.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed a paltry crowd of 100 people at a morning rally.
Wow.
The Gingrich Jackson remarks were uninspiring and meandered away from the usual stump speech. Uh-oh, lack of energy might have had something to do with the fact that Gingrich was out late the night before. He stayed in the hotel lobby bar until 2 a.m. dancing with his wife, Callista, to a cover to a cover band.
Oh,
dear God.
Don't
stop thinking about tomorrow.
Oh,
no, they wouldn't have played
Gingrich spokesman R.C. Hammond seemed to confirm this was the ex-speaker's last stand, but in multiple interviews on Friday, Gingrich directly contradicted his own spokesman. He said, I'm going all the way to Tampa. There's no question in my mind. Which was the opposite of what his spokesman just said. Mm. A poll conducted by the Alabama State's University Center for Leadership, blah, 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 showed Gingrich tied with Romney in that state and Santorum trailing badly. Republican polling firm Rasmussen found Romney leading by 8 percentage points in Mississippi. American Research Group found Gingrich leading. They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The polls are all frigging over the place. That's the bottom line.
It's got an image of a trail of Santorum.
Ugh. Yeah, dude.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with Eric Bollard next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hire the chat room as my stylist until Marcus Bachman becomes available.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying out new baseball hats for the youth stream. Hmm. Mike and Raleigh thinks I look cute in this hat?
That's right.
Super. All right, 6 minutes.
I think it's a cute hat.
It's dark. Yes, my Solar World hat. Hello. All right, 1-800.
I like it.
I think the guy that owns the show is going to start selling space on my hat. Yeah.
Like
it's going to be like NASCAR in here.
Like he sells space in the hours?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because this hour is brought to you by...
Oh! Hello, this hour is brought to you by Solar World. They've been making solar panels
the odds.
Right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. Thank you.
You going to change your hat hourly? Is that
I think he's going to run a little thing that says Stephanie gives good and then you can buy space on my head.
Oh, dear.
Okay, what? All right.
Is that the ad campaign?
Yes, StephanieMiller.com, the great website. Oh, Jeff in Salem writing, what's earlier than insane o'clock? Steph, it occurs to me once you're on current TV, you'll have to get there earlier for hair and makeup. No.
Computer says no.
Which means getting up before insane o'clock. What time is earlier than insane o'clock? It doesn't matter. I've lost the will to live. They want me in the baseball hat and the workout clothes. My P90X / spinning clothes. So there. Ah. Not getting up any earlier. Okay. Ked, Sexy Liberal News, sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook and Twitter. Check it out. Annie writes, thank you, Steph. Want to thank you and your crew. I got the last two $22 seats to the Albuquerque show coming up March 31st. Your show is the only show that has affordable tickets at the Pope Joy. When John Stewart was here, his balcony seats were $65. Bill Maher was here, balcony seats $75. In this economy, we couldn't afford those prices. We just assumed Sexy Liberal would be just as greedy. We were so happy to be wrong. Thank you for bringing you and your show here in a way that everyone can enjoy. You're welcome, Annie. We do that on purpose. We really try. And I think there's the next one up. It's like 52 or something. We try to really make stuff. And also, high-strung Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland wants you to know, Albuquerque, students, if you are a student or faculty there, you get $25 off any ticket when you go to the box office with a student ID. Limit 2 per ID. So there you go. Tickets going fast.
By the way, he posted a picture on his Facebook page. I guess he was so tired of the rabbit food that they were feeding him at Canyon Ranch, he made a chocolate chip cookie dough pancake for breakfast this weekend.
Oh, he's ruined everything I've worked for with him. All right. I'm going to have to take him on another baton death march soon. All right. Our buddy, our pal is here. It's Monday. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Yeah, I make Roland hurt so good. I'm like Eric Bollard. It only hurts good. Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Great piece, of course, The Self-Destruction of Limbaugh, Murdoch, and Beck. You draw a parallel to all of those situations this week.
Well, it's interesting to watch what's happened to Beck and then to think back on last summer with the meltdown of Murdoch and then last spring and last winter Beck. These are all people who 12, 14, 18 months ago were seen as invincible, could do no wrong, would never be held accountable by any sort of outside group or action, and that they're able to sort of, promulgate this right-wing hate rhetoric without any consequences. And, of course, Beck was the first to fall. He lost hundreds of advertisers on his show. Fox realized they had the show with 2 million viewers and they literally couldn't sell any ads, so they showed him the door. Rupert Murdoch had created this culture of corruption in News Corp to the point where, lots of executives at his British newspapers thought paying off officials and breaking into people's cell phones was sort of the normal way that you get a news story.
Right.
And now we've got Rush Limbaugh. With his 3-day meltdown over Sandra Fluke and staring at a boycott that continues to gain strength. So all three of them, this is clear self-destruction. No one did this to them themselves.
What? I thought Rush said the left made him do it. Didn't he descend to our level?
Right. we channeled him for those two nasty words. So it's interesting that the right wing movement doesn't really have any self reflection, and it certainly doesn't do any self policing. You know, someone along the way, you know, remember the Sandra Fluke story? That was a 3-day meltdown. Maybe if someone had gotten to Rush after the first day and say, you know what, this is really dumb, this is really stupid, but they don't police, they just cheer, and now we're watching these dominoes tumble.
Well, as you say, for the conservative media, there's no checks in place anymore. Instead, all the introspection has been eliminated and replaced by robotic partisan defense, regardless of the circumstances. You almost don't have to listen, right, to know that to a person, whether it's Sean Hannity, Michelle Morgan, they're all going to defend whatever Rush says, right?
Yeah, which is amazing, because when you actually listen to Rush, to what Rush said, this was not a partisan attack where you can say, well, we hate Obama, so everything he says that he criticized Obama, we're going to stand by him. You know, as everyone knows, this was a 3-day on a basically an obscure private law student. Yes, she testified before some members of Congress. Doesn't open up to her to this 3-day, you know, verbalist. So it's amazing that they will support him no matter what. And when the no matter what is, Sandra Fluke should post videos of herself having sex online, you know, Rush Limbaugh claiming she was having sex in sixth grade. I mean, this was such rancid stuff. And yet, you know, she is the target. I mean, Bill O'Reilly and Dana Loesch talking about who her boyfriend is and where she's on vacation this week. I mean, just sort of very creepy stalker stuff.
Yeah.
And they have decided she is the target and Rush Limbaugh is not the bad guy in any of this.
You know, I got to get your take on one thing. You mentioned, Eric, the boycott. Because I have to say, I've been saying this all last week. I said it on CNN yesterday. Is, you know, boycotts hurt all of us, unfortunately, in radio. And this is it makes all of us a little nervous. I have to say, the story, obviously, that broke over the weekend, nearly 100 advertisers have made it clear they intend to pull their ads from all right-wing talk radio, not just Rush Limbaugh's show. But, you know, as you can imagine, in this economy and in this radio business, Eric, it makes people nervous because that they could stop advertising on progressive shows as well if they just get scared off by controversy. Do you know what I'm saying? It's pretty easy for right-wing groups to do the same thing and go, oh, well, you know, Stephanie Miller and Ed Schultz or Randy Rhodes are just as controversial and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah, no, I understand. If advertisers take a very sort of blind eye, oh, we're walking away from radio, that would be a problem because there are people that should be supported and all talk radio should not be, you know, smeared by what someone like Rush Limbaugh does. I thought it was very interesting. I mean, you know, that memo that was reported on over the weekend, you know, Rush Limbaugh syndicator cleared Premier Radio Networks. I mean, the memo was pretty clear that want to be associated with any of these right-wing talk radio hosts. I mean, everyone on list was right-wing instead of Tom Likas, who doesn't really do politics anymore. So, I mean, the good is the advertisers realize this right-wing stuff is rancid.
Right.
There seemed to be a wide brushing of the stroke at this point, and hopefully there was.
Well, and Eric, my point is, I think Michael Medved said it to me yesterday on CNN about, oh, you people, you want to shut Rush down. It's like, and I keep saying no. Nobody wants to shut someone down, take away their First Amendment rights, because I'm just saying it's a fine line. Right now, you know, our listeners respectfully let people like Carbonite and ProFlowers know how they felt, and they dropped Rush, and a lot of our listeners bought stuff, typed my name in the box, thank them.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you know, it's tough. I'm just not a big boycott person, because I'm just saying that can very easily, they go, you know what, we're just getting out of talk radio, because now people on the right are mad at us, because they think these people on the left are, you know, and you and I know.
It's not worth it. So we'll advertise somewhere else. And there are people who just do not agree with the idea of advertising boycott, and they don't agree with that pressure point. Bill Maher seems to be one. Obviously, he was the victim of one. He lost the TV show because of advertising boycott. Makes a certain set of sense that he doesn't think that's the way to go. I understand there are people, particularly people in the radio business, who get nervous when you start talking about dropping advertising, because we all know how hard it's been for progressive radios to get advertisers in the first place.
Well, right, and what my point, Eric, is when people immediately said boycott those advertisers, it's like, hey, wait a minute, those are my advertisers too. If you hurt them, you hurt me.
I
so it's
I always thought from day one of the story that what people should do is contact advertisers and say, please get off the Rush Limbaugh show.
Right.
Please don't support this kind of hate rhetoric.
Yeah.
Don't pay this guy money. The idea of, you know, boycotting them or being mad at your show or other liberal shows because Carbonite is on your show, that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
The point is, don't pay Rush Limbaugh to spread his hate on the radio, period.
Well,
just don't put money in his pocket.
That's right. Well, so far so good, because you and I are still talking. apparently it's being broadcast. So let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Bill O'Reilly on the still on the Sandra Fluke controversy.
The whole Obamacare mandating contraception business is a huge canard. Ms. Fluke can afford to go on vacation, can fly coast to coast to appear on The View, although ABC might have picked up that tab.
They did.
She can dress very well. She gets all over the place. But she doesn't have $9 a month for pills? Come on.
God.
Wow. Wow. Talk about making this personal. And I mean, it's...
Yeah. And he also talked... Yeah, right. Talking about her travel plans. Okay, this is getting creepier and creepier. Middle-aged men seem completely obsessed with this young woman, and not in a good way. She dresses well. Where is she flying? What's her boyfriend's name? This is, you know, we're on like week three of this.
Eric,
this is
a lot of guys, obviously guys, particularly obviously on the right, just don't get it that it's not a, that this, first of all, I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously we know Rush Limbaugh takes Viagra. Who knows about Bill O'Reilly? Again, that's their business. And the fact is insurance covers that. It's
$9. I think it was Mother Jones. They've got this predated them both. They've got this great blog post with a calculator. You put in your age, calculate your contraceptive costs from now and, you know, to your adult life. $9 a month. Do you think you can just go to CVS and get birth control pills, that there isn't a $250 doctor visit to begin with, that you don't have to do that ever? What is this $9 a month for birth control? Every woman in America hears that and is like, what planet do you live on?
Right.
It's just...
And again, the fact that we should even be having this conversation, just read a letter from a mother whose developmentally disabled 14-year-old needs to take birth control pills. I mean, there are a million different reasons. Endometriosis, cysts.
And Sandra Fluke did not mention her birth controls or her sex life for one sentence of her testimony.
Yep.
Not once. And here's Bill O'Reilly still pretending and kind of weirdly fantasizing about how often she has sex.
Ugh, I know. All right, Eric Bolin remains.
She's a slut, and a cheap slut. $9 a month, that's nothing. Wow.
You know, I have half a mind to wear my South Lake Union Trolley T-shirt.
Yeah.
Just so Rush will call me a slut. Because I'll be on the Ustream in the slut T-shirt. 18 minutes after the hour, right back. Eric Bolin, more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Get out. You're right, Jim. You do not realize how many clocks you have in your house until daylight savings.
Right.
That is a lot of work.
I spent most of yesterday changing clocks.
Yeah. Chris said some of them change themselves, not mine.
No?
I have the old-timey ones.
Just the phone and the computer.
The computer, the phone?
I have a paper calendar, and I have
One of my bedside alarm clocks changes by itself.
I only have, what are those things, hourglasses.
Strangely, my paper calendars flip themselves, so that's
weird.
Yeah, very odd.
When the sands go through the hourglass.
Like sands through the hourglass.
Flip themselves. Eric Bolin is back from Media Matters. You'll probably be surprised to know this, Eric, but you have ties to Sandra Fluke, apparently, according to Eric Bolin.
Contraceptive activist Sandra Fluke. That may have been more than just a concerned Georgetown co-ed. I suggested that maybe, just maybe, Ms. Fluke could be tied to the White House.
Huh?
Ms. Fluke, who has already exposed her ties to the uber-liberal website Media Matters, has now been connected to the White House via former communications director Anita Dunn.
Huh?
Dunn, White House, Media Matters, Ms. Fluke. Ange, how the onion unfolds.
Oh, dear.
J'accuse.
Uber liberal, Eric Bollert.
Yeah.
That sounded like an onion report, actually, from the onion.
Yeah, it did. She posed herself as a Media Matters reader. And oh, she dear. Mentioned it on The View. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Right, I love this idea that, you know, that this is all, you know, O'Reilly has been talking this up too. This is all some conspiracy because the idea that someone testifies before members of Congress in D.C. is just such a, you know, an unprecedented PR tactic, a propaganda tactic, never been done before. And that when there's a controversy, you know, someone comes and does, you know, publicity, not publicity, but it becomes like a spokesperson or something like that. This is like DC 101. How it's been working for about 85 years, but yeah. Fox News, it's so, all very damning and exciting.
So the point is, has ties to Media Matters means she reads it, like millions of people?
Yeah.
Is that your point? How very ominous.
Yes. Millions of Americans
you know,
have ties.
I mentioned Michael Medved said this to me on CNN yesterday. This, you know, this is the right wing talking about contraception activist. I mean, I guess so. She deserved to be called a slut and a prostitute for 3 days. I mean, it's just they keep missing the point, right?
Yeah, and Medved had a opinion piece today where he completely, you know, whitewashes the Limbaugh apology. So there's a lot of whitewashing going on. He's an activist. Therefore, right, fill in the blank, she sort of gets what she deserves. Limbaugh apologized. He didn't apologize. He apologized for two. He smeared that young woman for
exactly.
You know, 30 or 40 separate times. So we're seeing a lot of this whitewashing. It's the only way they can really rationalize it.
I know. Well, here is Michelle Bachmann to talk about what a name caller Bill Maher is.
It showed Bill Maher for what he is. He's a pig. When it comes to conservative women, he treats us and he acts and he speaks like a pig. This is ridiculous. And I think we need to stand up for who we are. But this is symptomatic of what those on the left are worried about. They know the big problem that Barack Obama has right now is not only his policies, but also in particular Obamacare. They're scared to death, and they're doing everything that they can to distract us from the real message.
Ah,
and
right.
That's from the effects of his policies.
That's what it's all about.
There you go.
This is the world's most successful distraction, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
This was all a Democratic ploy to spend not only March but February talking about Planned Parenthood and birth control and this has been a cultural success, and Democrats should brainwash Republicans more often.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Eric Bollard, I'm going to have to finish Right Wing World without you, which makes me very sad. But we've been entirely too chatty. But great stuff as usual. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there goes Eric Bollard. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I am not interested in logic.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour.
Friggin' daylight savings time.
More people have heart attacks on the day of daylight savings time
right.
than any other. Yeah, probably because you're like, oh, I'm an hour late. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I got a panic call from CNN Sunday morning from reliable sources. I'm like, I know what time it is. I'll be there.
Aw. They know you too well.
They probably do have a lot of guests, though, that don't forget.
I'm sure.
Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I'm going to give the right-wing media a little piece of invaluable advice.
Yes.
It's time for them to all shut up, shut up, shut up.
See what you want there. I see what you're cueing Chris, producer Chris.
Right. The thing is, if they're losing on this point.
Shut up! Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out until you win an election. When you win election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the court. But until then, shut up!
All right. They're just the premier is getting the wiring into his rat hole, I guess.
It's devaluing their media product. It's making their candidates for president look weak, and it's distracting everyone from something that maybe they should ought to be talking about.
And by the way, Dave, if you can make Mitt Romney look weaker and more wishy-washy than he already is, then I say, hoorah, Rush. Nicely done. I just want to stand on principle and say, I will. I wouldn't have ordered it like that. Wow, that was,
I would have done this with my hand.
Taking a stand.
Profiling courage. Yeah. Yes, sir. All right, Greg Jarrett, he's one of those straight news anchors
on
Fox.
Yeah, no opinion.
No.
No.
A record-setting month for red ink in Washington. Uncle Sam notched his highest ever monthly deficit. Look at that, in the month of February. Mm. The Fed spent $229 billion more than they took in last month compared to the previous record. Okay. All right, look, we have to cut spending, obviously.
Big number, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they did that every day during the Bush administration he was running up those deficits.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Yeah? No? Okay. Barbara in California. Hey, Barb.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Has anyone suggested that Russia might actually be a mole for the Taliban?
Really? That's what I'm wondering, if he's actually working for the White House, is what I'm thinking, because you cannot do a better job.
That's
could
true.
You? Alienating the remaining women in the Republican camp. Glenn Beck. Oh, looky there.
So what's the number one issue? You know, this is kind of changing, and I have to explain it, the character. We have to know that, because I know you don't, but I believe there is a deep financial crash coming all around the globe, and I also think that there's going to be violence in the streets, and we have to know that the person that is going to come into office, it will say the same things to our face that he'll say as he turns around.
Huh?
Hmm.
What?
Wow, he's just as incomprehensible as he used to be.
Yeah, he is.
When he had a television show. Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
The number of Americans filing for jobless benefits unexpectedly rose last week, but are enough, not enough, to change perceptions that the labor market was strengthening. Not one perception is cited. We don't know whose perceptions we're talking about here other than the info babe or the reporter, whoever, who wrote the story with tongue hanging out. Eager and panting away for Obama's success.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My
God. So he has not dialed down the sexism, misogyny, any.
No. Wow. Not at all.
Wow, that was a job joke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Awesome. Good. Good for him.
Wow.
What's that I hear? Dead air on Rush's show? Another PSA? Okay.
Dead air.
By the way, as of this moment, not one musician has told us not. In fact, I have a picture of me with Katrina from Katrina and the Waves hugging me.
Yep.
Not one musician has told us not to use their music. Let's see. At this hour, who is it, Chris? Peter Gabriel.
Yep.
Rage Against the Machine, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and Rush have all demanded that their music no longer be used on the Rush Limbaugh program.
Wow. The Fabulous Thunderbirds are still together?
In and out.
I see.
Well, you know, Jimmy Vaughn hasn't been with them for a while, it's basically Kim Wilson and a bunch of guys.
I see.
All right.
Rage Against the Machine guitarist Tom Morello wrote, our response, hey, jackass, stop using our music on your racist, misogynist, right-wing clown show.
Yes.
I never would have expected they would have even hinted at giving Rush Limbaugh permission, knowing their politics.
Jim in Los Angeles. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I just want to know if you saw the TV show the weekend over Game Change.
Game Change, yes. Thought it was fabulous.
I was going to share with you my defining moment was when her advisor was trying to get her to prepare for a speech, and she just kind of spaced out, zoned out. I was wondering what you thought the defining moment was.
Well, you know, it was interesting. We were saying a lot of people felt like that it was too sympathetic to Sarah Palin. You know, when you look at the fact that it really was all about her, my defining moment is when she kept insisting on giving a speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even after Steve Schmitz told her no.
Yeah.
Never in the history of this country.
Right. That was a real powerful
moment. This country has just elected the first African-American president. John McCain is going to go out there as every presidential candidate for however many years, right?
Right.
And she's literally, then she tries to go right to John McCain to go around Steve Schmitz. Mm-hmm. It was all about her.
Yeah, that was another defining moment too. That was incredible. I thought it was kind of sympathetic toward her. At the same time, it did show a little bit of what she's about.
Well, it did, Jim. But my point is that she wasn't some poor victim. She's a politician that's in the public eye.
Right.
That wanted this limelight and still does. You know, and I think it ignored how mean spirited she is.
Yeah, I think it was a balanced portrait of someone who was not at all qualified.
Exactly,
for
who was in way over her head and didn't seem to realize it.
Well, that, Jim, that was my, our defining moment, is the danger that those, that they put this country in by the fact that you go, you know, this is a pretty evenly divided country. That woman.
Right. That they put someone in who looked okay on paper.
Right.
But, you know, when it came down to brass tacks, she had no qualifications to do that job.
John McCain didn't watch it, but he heard that he cussed a bit in it, so that
well,
he did. But
he said he was briefed on it.
Yeah, yeah. But he, you know, they treated him with kid gloves because he was just this kindly, avuncular
guy. Yeah, he
guy
seemed
who was
like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Which he can be, but he's famous for his
temper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was absolutely.
Well, and also, it just goes to his enormous lack of judgment that, you know, the buck stops with him.
Yeah.
And you can go, oh, well, but the other people picked him. It's like, hey, it was John McCain's decision. They wanted to win so badly.
Yeah.
They thought, you know, all sizzle, no substance. Let's just.
In my dealings with John McCain, he hasn't been that avuncular grandfather figure that was portrayed in that movie.
Yes. What did they used to call him? McNasty?
When he was McNasty.
In the Navy? Yeah.
Yeah. But I've seen him go after some of his underlings when he was at our old radio station in Phoenix.
No, I was talking to somebody over the weekend that, you know, how many times have you heard this from a Republican, you know, relative? Oh, she was saying her grandma. I was like, oh, I love Sarah Palin. She's just like me. And I always say, I don't want someone just like me. I want someone smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's Lisa said to me, oh, well, you're smart enough. I'm like, no, I'm not.
No.
But at least I know it, you know. Her ego is, all right. John McCain.
I watched the Phoenix Coyotes defeat the San Jose Sharks 3-0. It was a great game. Of course, I'm not going to watch it. It's based on a book that's completely biased and with unattributed quotes, and etc. And by the way, I've been told that I'm portrayed as using an exceeding amount of coarse language. I don't use coarse language very often. I have a larger vocabulary than that.
Ask your underlings.
Yeah.
Your vocabulary.
Yeah.
And he didn't curse a whole lot in
the
movie.
No, I don't remember that.
Cursing at all.
I mean, I can't remember.
Is that the part he thinks is inaccurate?
Yeah.
It was mild.
Right.
You know, whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, HBO even went out, you know, put out a statement. They went way out of their way. It's, when he says, oh, unsourced, whatever, I think they said they were sourced with 25 different people in addition to the people from the book.
And you have people like Steve Schmidt and Nicole Wallace, who were portrayed in the movie and in the book.
Mm-hmm.
They said,
that was it.
That was pretty much it.
Nicole Wallace on ABC's This Week.
How true to life.
Well, it's true enough to make me squirm, but, you know, look, this isn't a movie about campaign staff, and this isn't even really a movie about McCain and Palin. This is a movie about the vast gray area in which 99% of our politics actually takes place. And I think that what gets boiled down are sometimes the fights or the instant analysis or the black and white, who's up and who's down. But the truth is, and I think everyone around this table has had some experience in their political careers, where you're just feeling your way through a very gray area and you're doing your best.
You know, I think you make a good point, too. That's why Steve Schmidt, to me, has credibility, because it makes him look bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that made at least he's shown regret. He's like, you know, the guy that made this decision, pushed this decision. And, you know, you see that one control room thing when she can't name a paper. He goes, oh, God, what have we done?
Yeah. And poor Nicole Wallace was just trying to, you know, carry out Steve Schmidt's wishes. And she was trying to make the best of a bad situation. And finally she said that, you know, she had
enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hello from the Festival of Sin.
Yes. Yes.
I know as liberals we try to do the right thing. We try to take the high road. But nasty as all these conservatives are getting, I think it's time that maybe we start our own rumors, like, you know, maybe Rick Santorum is going to waterboard Hispanic, and Mitt Romney, you know, of course, since he's the architect of Obamacare, we must be going to be facing Mormon death panels.
Here we go. Mormon death panels.
Lord.
Exactly. All right.
Mormon religion reassignment panels.
Exactly. All right. Let's do one quick one. Gene in Vermont. Hey, Gene.
Hey, Steph and Mooks. Good morning.
Hey.
I kind of think some people say that Rick Santorum might be a secret Muslim, and
really?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Over the weekend, I heard a news item that said he made a pilgrimage to Rush Limbaugh's hometown of Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard this or not.
Mm-hmm.
While he was there, he makes a statement that this is just like a trip to Mecca for me. But how would he know unless he had been to Mecca, which is the holiest site, as we all know, the holy site.
Sure. Well, and now it will be the new bronze bust of Rush Limbaugh. in Missouri that they're putting up. That will be the new Mecca.
And rub it for good luck.
And you can just kiss the man boobs for luck. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Richard in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought it was, I agree with you that we shouldn't boycott, we shouldn't call for boycotts or call for advertisers to back out of shows. I listen to your show, and I listen to Rush, I listen to Glenn Beck, I watch O'Reilly. I try and listen to both sides, and I disagree with some of what Rush says, great deal of what he says and how he says it. I disagree with virtually all of what you say and how you say it.
Awesome.
But I love the fact that I have the ability to listen to you. I have the ability to hear what you have to say and judge for myself as an American.
Thank you. No, I agree. I think boycotts make a lot of us hinky. Bill Maher's not the only one, because it really does cut both ways. And I think, that's the thing. When people always say, oh, you people want to shut him down, I'm... not trying to shut him down, or you want to shut right-wing radio down.
No.
I made the point yesterday, Richard, like Dr. Laura. I mean, she has the right to yell the N-word 11 times. She has a First Amendment right, but people had a right to, react to that, whether it's advertisers or listeners, right?
Do you believe in apologies, though? I mean, I think that if you guys screw up and I call you and say, hey, the way you talk about Kirk Cameron is so utterly offensive that, I could never listen to your show again, but I want to listen to your show. And what you say about Kirk Cameron is extremely offensive. Mm. It's wrong and bullheaded and ignorant and all that other jazz. But, I think that you do take phone calls from us conservatives, and I think that's why I like both sides. I mean, I've never called the Rush show because I just don't. He's kind of a comedian. Like, I don't like Bill Maher. He's loathsome to me. But I want him to have the ability to make a living, and if he wants to do it the way he wants to do it, then I don't buy his tickets, and I don't have HBO at home because of Bill Maher. So, I mean, it's
oh, well, you missed Game Change then, God's sakes, Richard. That wasn't worth it.
Well, no, Game Changers, that's a joke. You know what I mean, that was written by anti Republicans and anti
no. It was written by the Republicans that worked on the campaign.
Steve Schmidt and Nicole Wallace, who worked on the campaign, said, "Yeah, that's what happened."
Well, I mean, that's people trying to sell tickets. So I mean, that's
what?
No,
there aren't any ticket stage.
No, they still work in politics in Republican politics.
Well, I mean, I'm somewhat moderate Republican, so I mean, all the power to them. But I mean, I just think that anything on HBO is going to be too truthful.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, Richard, you make a good point, and I get a lot of calls and letters like that. People don't agree with anything I say, but they listen because they want to hear what I'm going to say. They think it's funny, whatever. And I agree. I don't think Rush Limbaugh should be shut down, but I think people have a right, whether it's advertisers or listeners, to decide what they want to do about it.
Well, but it's because people call for boycotts, and I think it's just
I'm not. Boycotts hurt everybody in radio.
Well, that's why I listen to you. I think that, like I said, some of what you say, I disagree with most of your, I'd say, your social positions and what I would call morality, but I still adore your show,
and you.
I buy the products that are advertised, and if it's a product that I want, so I appreciate you taking the call.
Thank you. So you listen to my show, but you think I'm a slut? Is that what you're saying? Is that your moral?
I wouldn't want my teenage kids to follow, what I think you guys promote.
Okay.
Promiscuity and
I promote promiscuity. You just called me a slut.
Yeah,
this is taking
a turn,
Richard. I promote promiscuity.
In what way?
It's quite ribald. It's a show that kind of goes toward the do what you want kind of a thing, and I thought the hippie generation kind of killed our country.
He called us hippies.
I'm an immoral hippie.
Wow.
The grandchildren of hippies.
Yeah, we're a little edgy, but I'm an elderly shut-in practically, so I actually don't practice promiscuity. But
really, if you knew anything about any one of us,
we're too boring.
Really boring.
All right, Richard, we appreciate the call. Thank you.
You take care.
All right, you too. There he goes.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on.
Wow. He likes it, even though I'm an amoral hippie.
Actually, sometimes Bill Maher makes my skin crawl, too.
Yeah, sometimes he...
Even when I'm agreeing with him, it's like, ugh, that's...
I agree with one thing he said this weekend, though. He said, stop saying Rush Limbaugh's a comedian. When you go out and do 90 minutes on stage like I am,
it's a whole different job.
Yeah.
But you know what? That Alexandra Pelosi thing he played, that was a little offensive, I think.
But I didn't think so because, as she said, they didn't selectively edit. She simply left out 20 people that were exactly the same.
No, but they selectively went to parts of town. I mean, there are really nice, there are even some liberal parts of Jackson, Mississippi that she could have gone to get a whole a view of what goes on in Mississippi.
She said there were 20 other toothless people she didn't use.
Right, from one part of town.
All right. Dan in Des Moines, Iowa. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I watched Game Change on Saturday night, and I really enjoyed it. And the defining moment, I thought, was in the same conversation at the end when McCain was talking to her and she wanted to make the speech, and he was walking out of the room, and he turned back around and went back, and he said, "You're a party leader now, so don't let Limbaugh and those radical right-wingers co-opt you because they will destroy the party." I wanted to jump up and go, ta-da!
That was a little prescient, wasn't it? I mean, it is funny that just in the middle of it, that this happens to air right in the middle of this Rush Limbaugh thing, right?
Well, you bet. Yeah, like I said, that's what they're doing. They're destroying the party.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're going to continue to do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And by the way, Dan, John McCain, if you'll recall, is one of the only people that stood up to Limbaugh in the Republican Party, but because he's not running anymore. Isn't that pathetic, right?
Exactly. And when he did that to that woman where he told her, that Obama's not a bad man, he's a good family, somebody said, would any three of Gingrich, Santorum, or Romney, would any three of those do the same thing? And I doubt it.
Yep, exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. And he even boned that up, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. No. He's not an Arab. He's a good family man.
Thanks for that.
Meaning no Arabs could ever do that. Okay, never mind. I don't.
Whatever.
There's an online petition to get an Emmy for the woman who played that woman in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bad wig.
Yeah.
No, she got the cadence right and everything.
Yeah.
By the way, Keith.
He's an Arab.
Keith in San Diego writes, Steph in the Moogs, I think Rush is getting his show prep from old SNL reruns. His whole rant against Sandra Fluke last week was nothing more than revival.
Jane,
point
you ignorant slut.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a parody. That was like the joke. That's like she makes a point and he calls her a slut. And you're exactly right, Keith. Thank you. That was intentional comedy back in the day. All right. Oh, speaking of intentional comedy, listener Steve in Wyoming. Is this a reality show promo based on the Republican field? Here we go. From listener Steve in Wyoming.
With a failed primary and hopeless thoughts of a brokered convention, there's only one way to pick a candidate this year: with a cook-off. Wednesdays by Bravo, Chef Gordon Ramsay and crew have a brand new series.
The biscuit and some cheesy grits.
Gloria, let's cook disaster. They're not just making stump speeches, they're making meals from a bus.
I made a carnival hot dish with corn dogs and funnel cake.
Who the f*** invited you back?
Commander and Chef premieres this fall.
Only by Bravo.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Sexyliberal.com. Check out all the upcoming dates. Jessica writes, Steph, I ordered from ProFlowers and kept putting Steph in the box over and over and over again. Turns out it was the wrong damn box.
Oh, no.
Oh. slut. Look at her. I recovered, though, and found the right box. Now I've sent my mom...
Slut! She's a slut! Oh, my goodness. Look at her, slut!
Oh, dear. I recovered, though, found the right box. Well, haven't we all?
No.
Now...
Eventually, we find
sure.
It.
Yeah. Now I've sent my mom birthday flowers and put Steph in the right box. I am Victoria Jessica, the right box.
Luke English has a history of putting it in the wrong box.
What?
Nothing.
Okay, then. Hey, speaking
okay,
of...
Okay, that was funny.
Speaking of our fine sponsors, Julie in Seattle with a it's true. My new no hair removal system, which is fabulous.
Yeah, look how hairless you are.
Right. I'm an American hairless.
Evidence? Yes.
Yes.
You were so hairy before, we just didn't want to tell you.
I know. Julie writes, hearing all your ads for your new sponsor, No-No, thinking what a pity it is that it came along too late to let a certain Armenian wolf child travel on the campaign trail with her Republican family. Thank you. My dad might have won in 1964 had I not been such a hairy little Armenian
wolf. Yeah, so say yes, yes to No-No?
Exactly, is my point.
Well, there was that one picture in Life magazine of you on stage somewhere. And your eyes were crossed. What was wrong with
they
you?
They always were.
Really?
They actually weren't crossed. They're more like, you know, when you
googly
shake those
eyes?
Things, the googly eyes, they kind of just roll different ways. You know, what am I thinking of? That little thing where you have
that... little googly eyes.
Yeah.
I think that's what you call them.
Yeah. That's what would happen.
Whoa.
It's just, and they stood out under the natural afro because you couldn't, it was hard to know where to look. At me, because it was oof.
Yeah, in those pictures, your sisters were hot.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother was
cute,
attractive.
Really cute.
What?
I don't. Well, what? Hello. And what's
and you're
how you end up?
Yeah.
And this
okay.
is what happens. Radio. It's your only choice.
Tens of thousands of dollars of work later.
Right.
And you get this.
Right. And now the magic of television once again. Lois writes, Steph. Oh, I found Steph. I found this on the current TV site. Stephanie Miller. Current has the young progressive involved audience I want to reach every day. Yeah. Some PR person wrote that. I didn't know. I, you know.
Maybe we should have words.
I've been listening for years, but I'm 70. Questions, can I still listen? Yes.
Says, yeah.
You can even watch.
Watch Ustream? No, you can't watch Ustream anymore.
Computer says no.
Right
now you can, but once we start on Current, no more Ustream.
Right.
Sorry.
But we will be having the audio feed on Ustream as well as the same old chat room.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
That community will still stick around.
Can I watch Current after you've been groomed and trained and schooled so you can go on TV? No, there's none of that happening anymore. They're turning cameras on. I'm sitting here in my baseball cap like I always do. Let me know, because I'm too old. I'll have to find something else to do with the rest of my not life. No, Lois, listen, they don't. It's a little, you know, in news stories, it's not normally you. It's a PR person wrote your quote. I want everyone, young and old alike, to listen and watch. All right. In sexy liberal news, Laura writes, Steph, we're visiting the right child in April. My husband and I missed the debut of Sexy Liberal in Madison last April because we made the mistake of buying airline tickets to spend Easter with our daughter in San Francisco instead of our son in Madison. Oh, you picked the wrong liberal child to visit. Not this time. We snapped up our Sexy Liberal tickets for the return to the Barrymore months ago. Sorry, that's been sold out for a while. Sorry. We're visiting our son and our new grand puppy, the 3-year-old terrier rescue named Monty. Monty!
Monty, you're a good Monty.
Who's a sexy liberal terrier? As a, they'll have to come introduce him to high-strung tour director Roland, who's the terrier of the Sexy Liberal show. San Francisco daughter encouraged us to head to Madison. She saw you in San Francisco last October because she's such a great kid. She bought her parents' tickets to the Sexy Liberal album for Christmas and the tickets. Now that's a beautiful, magical family, sexy liberal story. All right. And don't forget, speaking of home, returning to L.A.
This is a special call out to all you L.A. progressives out there. A short distance dedication. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Hollywood, California.
Holy Hollywood.
L.A. Up in the club.
On Saturday, July 28th, the world-famous Pantages Theater will host our generation's greatest comedy trio with John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and featuring radio and television star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are currently available online at Ticketmaster.com, at the Pantages Theater box office, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the evening's proceeds will be donated to the Trevor Project. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, July 28th, at the Pantages Theater. The countdown to the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour's Los Angeles return starts now.
TikTok.
Back TikTok. To the captain.
Exactly. Now, story about a bear.
Another damn dead dog dedication.
Jane writes, that my husband and I enjoyed sex with liberal in Chicago last weekend. I think somehow the whole concept of embracing slut has rubbed off on me, i.e. if Sandra Fluke is a slut, then we're all sluts.
What?
I like
she's
that.
A slut.
I'm a slut.
Look at her slut.
Mm-hmm. It's like that
Have
scene
you ever
where everyone,
had sex for non-reproductive purposes?
It's like the In-N-Out scene where everyone stands up and says, I'm gay, to support the teacher that's gay. There you go.
Everybody gay!
Yes!
Okay. I'm Spartacus. Oh, wait, I actually am Spartacus.
Wait a minute. All right. Oh.
I'm Spartacus. Yonder lies the castle of my father.
Yeah.
Evan, can I have some squeezy music? Evan is the official male slut of the Stephanie Miller Show.
We
staff.
Needed one.
There's only one?
I thought Jim was that.
Long time ago.
People that don't work here. That are
okay.
Dear Steph, I'm a male college student. Our health center offers free condoms for students. I take advantage of this service on a weekly basis. Lots of sexy sex. I would like to be the official male slut of the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. That doesn't work here. Since I am getting free birth control, the thing I find completely ridiculous is Republicans are anti-abortion and anti-birth control.
Exactly.
Abstinence and birth control stop pregnancy, but let's be real. Most college kids I know are getting it on like Donkey Kong plus Chaka Khan. What?
What?
You can only trade...
Damn, I should have gone to that college.
You can only trade boobgasms for jobs for so long. What?
Huh?
Boobgasms?
What?
Is that what the kids are calling it? Is that even possible?
He claims it's... He said, look it up. It's in Cosmo.
Oh.
Well, okay. Cosmo says it's true.
Boobgasms.
They also said Burt Reynolds was hot. So,
My girlfriend and I listen to the Stephcast. Can we just call it the Slutcast? Yeah, sure, why not? Sure. While we're doing homework or, oh my God. They're listening to the Steph.
Oh my God.
She says the only way she'll do a three-way is if you come and bring Jim so he can do Kim Jong-il porn narration in the background. Just so you know, I'm all in. Okay, good. Anyway, the message is birth control should be free for anyone and everyone. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple, just like the fact that you're the sexiest minx on the radio. Hmm. Love you.
Oh, yeah, you know how bad you're right. Yeah, you're right. Dreams your raw hand on a panda.
Okay. Ew.
All right, whatever works for you.
All right.
Whatever floats your boat.
Oh, looky here. Future wife stack from Faye. Woman charged with having a meth lab in her pants.
In her pants?
Making meth.
Wow.
In my pants. Prosecutors have filed felony charges against a Hulbert woman who was allegedly arrested last month with a one-pot methamphetamine lab in her pants.
Hmm.
Stephanie Klinkenbeard.
Is that who you are? What you do?
Klinkenbeard?
Mrs. and Mrs. Stephanie and Stephanie Klinkenbeard.
Wow. That rolls off the tongue. Is this going to have to be the Stephanie Klinkenbeard show now? If
I wanted to change my first name. I don't know. I'm confused.
Oh.
Klinkenbeard admitted the bottle in her pants was a shake-and-bake meth lab when arrested. She later removed it. Wow.
Is that a meth lab in your pants? You just have it.
Yes. She...
And this
she
was...
later removed a 20-ounce bottle. She also produced
Yikes.
A clear bag containing a white powdery substance from inside her clothes and had several syringes, coffee filters, and a glass pipe in her
All
purse.
In her pants? Oh, in her purse.
No, no, in her
and a purse. And where was this?
Klinkenbeard. I think
Otherwise,
that was Michelle
that
Bachman's
be,
original
That would
name.
Be like a vaginal magic show of some
yeah.
sort. Wow, what else is in
A pigeon.
Holy cow. What?
An IOU, an IUD.
Here's some, some colorful scarves. Here's a Cosmo from 1987.
And here's Gallagher and his entire app.
All right. Oh, it's another Facebook is evil story. Facebook's automatic efforts to connect users through friends
yeah.
they may know recently led two Washington women to find out they were married to the same man at the same time.
Oh, dear.
I hate when that happens.
That led the man to be slapped with bigamy charges. Wife number one went to wife number two's page and saw a picture of her and her husband with a wedding cake.
Oh, that would be a problem.
Wow. You'd have to be a really good liar to pull that off.
Yep. There's a little howdy do.
Huh.
I imagine she didn't click like on that.
No.
Jesus,
no. 300 nude bicyclists hit Peru streets in protest.
Uh-huh.
About 300 nude bicyclists have ridden through the Peruvian capital in Lima to call attention to safety conditions and demand measures protecting cyclists. You know what one of them might be? Wearing pants.
Yes.
Wearing pants.
Pants might
yeah.
be a safety issue.
That might be something that
Don't bike
your,
naked.
That
that's
might
a,
protect your nads.
Yeah, that's road rash. Wow.
Ow.
It's like road rage, only...
Yeah, only
itchy,
not.
Itchier.
Itchy.
Jessica in Chicago on Game Change. Hey, Jess. Hello, Jessica.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, no sympathy involved. I'm just wondering, do we think Sarah Palin was that egotistical, or did she just think you didn't have to be smart to be president after Bush?
It was more ego. It was way more ego.
Yeah.
She didn't care what was involved. She just wanted to be...
Yeah, look at her even now. She was just on TV 2 days ago just going, anything's possible. I'd be happy to accept the nomination.
Yeah, okay.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this, the Twilight Zone?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty. She's got it fresh. She's crafty. And she's just my type. She's crafty.
23 minutes after the hour, Al writes, Steph, in response to your right-wing caller, I listen to your show because of the slant of your amoral, promiscuous, hippie, slut stance. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks. Love it. Can't wait to see your show in Madison next month. Oh, world, there'll be even more of that. Because it's the radio show without the FCC,
right.
Essentially. The sexy liberal show. Just like the radio show, only sluttier. All right. By the by, Keith Olbermann of Current TV. We love that. I love that Current TV, don't you?
Yes.
He's suspending worst persons in the world. You know, Howard Kurtz played a clip from Keith when I was on yesterday, and I can't help it made me giggle. But I'm just saying, I feel like people on the left at least try. He suspended it before, remember? And he's apologized when he has said stuff. But anyway, he stopped over the, you know, the whole Rush Limbaugh controversy. He's suspending worst persons in the world again. This was made me giggle. I'm sorry. In 2009, Olbermann tweeted that SE Cup was a perfect demonstration of the necessity of the work Planned Parenthood does. Mm. And the same year, he called Malkin a big mashed up bag of meat with lipstick on it.
Well, that's an Eastbound and Down reference.
Yes. Anyway, yes. So he denied either comment was sexist, but promised to apologize to both women, and then said he's going to stop. I'm just saying that's true. A mashed up bag of meat with lipstick could be either gender, technically.
Sure, it's not sexist. It's
no,
just
no,
not a nice thing to say about anyone. And it's an obscure TV reference.
All right, the primary in Crackerland is tomorrow. Oh, Rick Santorum, what's the matter with Kansas? They like Rick Santorum, that's what he... wow, he... In fact, that was like a drubbing Mitt Romney got in Kansas. Romney won Wyoming.
Whatever.
Okay. And tomorrow is Alabama and Mississippi.
Wow, I got my popo kicked.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Nudie.
This has been the wildest roller coaster. You don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going, you're not sure where you are.
It's true.
But it's real exciting.
Yeah, it's true. And
like
it makes
being
you,
in another
makes
woman's bed. What?
Dizzy?
No,
makes
that's
you,
not what it
makes you throw up. This Republican primary is exactly like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I hate the roller coaster.
I love roller coasters.
Roller coasters are awesome.
They make me yak. Okay. Rain Man's math is beginning to add up. Mitt's delegate math is
definitely
such an inspirational math-based campaign.
Definitely. Definitely. Definitely math-based campaign. Definitely. Uh-oh, fart.
Romney's campaign has been drumming hard. You know, the whole math angle, because it's
An excellent candidate. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely an excellent candidate.
A campaign advisor asserted that it would take an act of God to reverse the trajectory of the delegate math last week, and it has added the benefit of being true thanks to his organizational superiority and map ahead.
Mm.
This is very inspirational. We want to make the case to all delegates who are not legally bound that, in fact, the other two candidates cannot beat President Obama, Gingrich said on CBS, and if they come to that conclusion, I think the convention may end up being one of the most surprising in modern times. Yay! Yay, brokered convention! Yay!
Sarah Palin just can't wait. Is revving up her bus tour.
The RNC's last count of bound delegates show Romney with 339, Gingrich 107, Santorum 95, and Ron Paul with 22. He can fit all of those in his giant cartoon suit. The number of delegates he has. All right, Rick Santorum.
We're not electing a CEO, we're electing a commander-in-chief, and there's one person that has experience doing that.
Mm.
You? Really?
Oh.
Wait a minute. he has experience being commander in chief. Is that what he implied there?
I guess so.
He's an idiot.
Wow. All right. Speaking of a CEO, is a billionaire Romney backer. Says the ultra-wealthy have an insufficient influence over politics.
Oh,
interview with the Chicago Tribune. Ken Griffin, a hedge fund billionaire who is one of the 400 richest people in America, argued that the ultra-wealthy in this country do not have enough influence.
And that we don't have a king.
Right. Yeah. Who can't agree on that? What? Griffin went on to say the ultra-wealthy have a duty to step forward and save the U.S. from what he says is a drift towards Soviet-style state control of the economy.
Yeah, right. In other words, forcing rich people to pay their taxes.
Okie dokie.
Like we had under Eisenhower,
Frothy,
a Republican.
The Santorum.
Governor Romney reinvents himself for whatever the political occasion calls for.
True dat.
Mm-hmm.
And Frothy one more time, Rick Santorum.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, we already have one president who doesn't tell the truth to the American people.
Nixon.
We don't need another nominated by our party to do the same.
Wow, loading the liar cannon.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're a lying sack of crap. Blink, blink. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Blink, blink. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hi, I am a liberal, and this is the first time I've called your show.
Uh-huh.
But I like
uh-huh.
to listen to both sides.
Yes, of course you do.
Both the conservative and liberal side.
Yes.
And also, I'm tired of your show covering Kirk Cameron all the time. That's nothing but I hear on your show. All the time is Kirk Cameron.
Yes, that's what we talk about most days.
Yeah, I mean, come on, please. Once someone says I listen to both sides, it's like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And number two, is as far as offensive, as a straight guy, I find what Kirk Cameron says is very offensive and bigoted. And as an educated person, I find it even more ironic that a washed-up TV actor of the 1980s is injecting his opinion on our educational system, like what we can teach in schools.
But, buddy, he says all of his gay friends support his view that gay sex is unnatural.
I might be wrong, but I think Val does protest a little
what?
Too much.
What? What are you suggesting, buddy?
That right-wing caller is going to call back now. There you go again.
Making
fun
of
Kirk Cameron.
Poor little Kirk Cameron.
Why am I talking like Kevin Meaney? Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bad.
Stephanie Miller.
Everyone makes mistakes. Yours is just public and expensive.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I've had the stinking suspicion that these creepy billionaires that are backing the candidates are trying to throw the elections. I mean, if none of them will have the required number of delegates, what are we supposed to think? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
I mean, look, I don't know if you caught the
here's the thing,
morning.
David. I had no idea we had so many creepy billionaires in America, did you?
Did you guys catch the headline that Gingrich is considering Rick Perry as a VP candidate?
Yeah.
Please.
Dear God in heaven. All right. Wow.
Wow, that just cast a...
I just jumped ahead to the HBO movie on
that.
By the way, speaking of movies, Stephanie Madison says, I saw the premiere of We Are Wisconsin movie on Friday night. You're in it, Mama. I was an emotional mess. I need to ask you. I'm in a movie. Picture. It's the first talkie I've been in, I think.
Really?
Uh-huh. All right. By the way, I was reading some of the, where is this from, the week's editorial staff on Game Change. Palin, of course, says she won't see this. She says it's Hollywood lies, blah, blah, blah. Urging HBO to run a fiction disclaimer. HBO and director Jay Roach have declined, noting they've confirmed the film's accuracy with 25 additional sources not interviewed for the book. Check out. Game Change. Some of the reviews is entertaining and commendable precisely because it stays so close to the facts, said David, somebody at NPR, noting nowhere more so than its humanizing and balanced portrayal of Sarah Palin.
David Bianculli?
Yes.
Ah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I couldn't pronounce that, so I didn't even try.
No. I listen to him a lot. So
that's what I thought. Is like once again, like the SNL sketches that they even played within it.
Sketches.
The sketches. It's because it was so, you know what I mean? It's the same thing they did. They used the actual transcript of interviews.
Yeah.
So the scenes Julianne Moore, they were,
right.
A lot of them were direct reenactments of the Katie Couric, of the Charles Gibson interviews.
And I thought it was really cool that they put Julianne Moore's impression of Sarah Palin right next to Tina Fey's impression of Sarah Palin.
Yeah, her watching Tina Fey was great.
I know. That showed you how good of an actress Julianne Moore was in recreating Sarah Palin.
Yeah. All credit goes to Moore. Julianne Moore gives a performance, quote, so compassionate that anyone with an imagination will fear her terror as a deer in the Klieg lights of the national stage, said Slate. In the early vetting scenes, she communicates a touching earnestness and eagerness to please, turning Palin into a sympathetic figure. I heard a lot of people say, I felt bad for her.
Well,
I did too.
You actually root for her when she finally gets it right.
That's what this review says. Game Chain replays Palin's major media gaffes, but instead of inciting laughter, the resentment and paranoia that Moore's face conveys actually has you rooting for her to succeed. Hurl every major award to the actress for acing the immodest task of humanizing the media beast called Sarah Palin.
And, well, what I didn't know is that her diet, she was trying to lose weight frantically. She was on a crash diet.
Yeah, she was losing too much weight.
She probably had low blood sugar. Probably affected her ability to function.
But when she didn't throw up on herself during, you know, the vice presidential debate, that was a big win for her.
Right.
And I was like, Sarah.
It's like when they didn't have to put a pencil on George Bush's tongue. That was considered a win.
Yeah.
Same age as my mother.
He's all right.
Uniquely American.
All right. The other big TV event of the weekend was Bobby Christina, Whitney Houston's daughter, was interviewed by Oprah. And I didn't get to see that on
OWN.
Yeah.
It's sitting on my TiVo right now.
All right.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the family there were saying they didn't want her to do it. It was too soon, whatever. But she says she found it a healing experience. I was surprised some of the stuff that was said by her, I believe, was sister-in-law and brother.
Mm-hmm.
They said that Bobby Brown is not the one that turned her on to drugs, which I thought was surprising. And they sort of defended him. And
Okay.
Blah, blah.
But I thought it was interesting that Bobby Christina wants to change her name to Christina Houston.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. She revealed that last night.
Yeah. After you're done with it. Okay. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do the thing.
You can't transfer
programs.
All right,
I got to come to your house then.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
All right.
No.
CBS has renewed the talk for another season. Why? Because as we all know here on the Stephanie Miller Show, Aisha Tyler is the best thing in the history of anything, anywhere, ever.
She's going to stop returning our calls. You know that. She's getting too big for this
Stephanie
little rinky-dink thing.
She will be at Sexy Liberal with Mama and John Fugelsang in Minneapolis in May. So there.
She is a hit on network television, and we are on cable.
It'll
she
be called the
single-handedly
Aisha
saved
show.
The talk. I'm telling you.
Aisha Tyler's Sexy Liberal Show. Starring, you know, some little people.
I wonder if she'll let me do a cameo. Oh, well. This is the gayest story ever about non-gays, but Mick Jagger has a dance-off with their Eurythmics Dave Stewart.
Huh?
Straight guys have dance-offs? I don't know.
Really? Well, they still do that?
I'm a dancer. I'm a natural dancer. Well, if you can call what I do dancing. But, you know, I've got to do something to keep away off rubbish.
Yeah.
I can't gain weight. I eat nothing but cheese curds, chicken wings, and chocolate cake. There's no way I'll ever turn into Rush Limbaugh.
He says that's how he keeps his weight down.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't go to the gym. He dances.
Well, he also
does
says
dance-offs.
He has good genes, and he just can't get fat.
Yeah.
There's no way he'll
he's
get
an
fat.
Ectomorph.
He's like Jimmy Stewart. He was like, he tried to get in the Army Air Corps. He didn't weigh enough, so they were feeding him cheeseburgers and milkshakes, and it still didn't work.
Yeah.
But finally, you know, they're so desperate.
All right, fine.
So Dave Stewart has the moves like Jagger, apparently.
Huh. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were dancing at the 77 nightclub in New York's Meatpacking District. Okay, it just got gayer.
Yeah.
All right.
Just because it's the Meatpacking District doesn't make it gay.
Don't infer anything about it happening in the Meatpacking District. There are other parts in New York you could call the Meatpacking District, but I won't go into that.
No. Well,
and I thought I'd read every story ever about what a douche David Hasselhoff is.
Oh.
However, he once signed autographs for Britain's Princes William and Harry. He says their mother, Princess Diana, admired his appearance when they met and revealed that her sons were fans of his work. Work? I guess. Oh, work? Okay.
Sure. I mean, it brought him money, so
sure.
I guess.
Referring to how much time he spent wearing only shorts in Baywatch, David said, Diana was introduced to me, and she said, you look good with your clothes on, and I told her, thanks, so do you. Oh.
No.
That's a princess.
Skeevy.
He's a skeevy bastard. He just is. I asked her if she likes some autographs, don't you? And that's the other thing. You just
computer says no.
Nobody is. Someone's not going to go no. Oh, all right, thanks.
You should be asked for autographs. You shouldn't offer autographs.
Really, no.
You look good with clothes too. Would you like
my signature
autograph?
How about my phone number?
Oh, good God! What is wrong with you?
Probably Kit follows him around in his head.
Dick Van Dyke, 86 years old, just got married.
Congratulations,
Dick. That could have been me. I could have been Stephanie Van Dyke.
Well.
Shush. all the time I spent pestering him on the set of, you remember I played.
On Diagnosis Murder?
I played myself on Diagnosis Murder.
Is that where you said Bone King?
Yeah, no, that was a different show. Oh. I spent a lot of time chatting him up. He was quite charming. She's only 40. Dick Van Dyke just married his makeup artist.
Yikes.
I needed that, and that's perfect. When I get to be older, I get a young makeup artist. Perfect.
There you go.
Now that I have the current thing.
There was a makeup artist here on Friday.
Yeah, oh. Well, listen, I couldn't get between her and Jim. That was, you know. This is one of the downsides of this television thing. Is I don't think Jim's not used to being around people. He's supposed to behave properly.
Oh, God.
She's very pretty, as makeup artists tend to be.
Mm, mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe there'll be a Jim Ward sex tape that will leak at some point.
No.
Hulk Hogan says the sex tape being shopped to porn companies was secretly filmed without his permission.
Uh-huh. As you do. Sure.
Yeah, I just think camera anywhere near the bedroom, probably not such a good idea.
Yes, I'm sure Paris Hilton had no idea.
No idea.
Yes,
or
why?
Kim Kardashian had no idea that Ray J was taping it.
Outrageous invasion of privacy. Why I never. All right. Woody Allen set to play an aging escort in Fading Gigolo. John Turturro has written it. He will also star as a gigolo, which tells the story of two cash-strapped best friends who go into the escort business and find their local Hasidic Jewish community suspecting them of unusual goings-on.
I'm just a gigolo.
That's
everywhere I go.
That's high concept. Wow.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And finally, Paul McCartney was
Fred
stranded.
Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney was stranded in the French countryside for 6 hours after his Eurostar train broke down. A source said it was a pretty hideous situation, but Sir Paul was in fine form. He had a laugh and a joke as he chatted with the passengers in his cabin. That would be weird, having Paul McCartney tell you jokes for 5 hours.
Two peanuts were stuck on a train and one was assaulted. Okay, not my best joke, but...
But weird. All right. Oh, hey, looky here.
Chemin de fer Baccarat.
Since this is the...
Champagne buffet.
It's the Crackerland primaries this week. Where are we? Alabama, Mississippi tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
The Republican primaries. How's about this in Missouri? Taking God's guns and gays to the limit. The Missouri House of Representatives passed a bill this week which adds gun owners to the state's list of protected groups, a list which does not include members of the LGBT community.
Oh, huh.
The state of Missouri has no laws that protect gay people from employment or housing discrimination, but yesterday they advanced a new non-discrimination bill that protects gun owners.
Oh,
were the law to pass, it would ensure that anyone who legally carries a firearm cannot be fired, denied benefits, or otherwise discriminated against for
that
choice.
Is that a problem?
Or prosecuted if they kill somebody.
Yeah.
Is that
a... it's not against the law to fire someone in Missouri because they're gay, but it will soon be against the law to fire someone for bringing a gun to work. Because more workplace shootings is exactly what this country needs. Protecting gays be this kind of icky.
Apparently. Has that been a problem of people being fired because they bring firearms to work?
No, but gay workplace shootings are an epidemic in Missouri.
Wow.
Don't bring a gay to work, but you can bring a gun.
Okay.
That legislature's priorities seem to be a little out of whack.
Wasn't Limbaugh born in Missouri?
Yes, Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, every day at the Stephanie Miller Show is bring a gay to work day. We have no
several
children.
Gays.
We have no children. Yeah. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. And no guns.
No. Strangely.
Not a gun owner among us, I don't think. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mic check. Yeah, here you go. Well, nah, he over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called
Stephanie Miller.
Let's get it going.
Yeah, get it, get it. Turn around now. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800. Step 1, 2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, so primary in Crackerland tomorrow. See who gets to be president of Crackerland, Mississippi and Alabama. Mitt Romney, you know, is...
I got started right this morning with a biscuit and some cheesy grits.
Yeah, oh, Mitt Romney's home. I mean, Mitt's home in Alabama. That's, you know, he's a southern vibe.
And turn it up.
Keep on trying.
I know it's an away game, but I'm trying.
Scrambling now to get a win.
And my friends, I hope Santorum will remember.
Losing votes to Rick Santorum.
Those other men don't know how to Google anyhow.
If I lose Alabama to him once again, I think it's a sin.
Oh, but not a Catholic sin.
Sweet home, Alabama.
It's so sweet here in Alabama. This is wonderful.
Where the trees don't block the view.
The trees and the grits are just the right height, my friend.
Sweet home, Alabama.
And I love the Muscle Shoals, especially the Inland Shoals.
Lord, I'm pandering to you. Don't you know it's true?
Alabama. Oh, it's wonderful. I can't wait to get my Ellie's this and that store and see some plastic floral arrangements. Can I call you Bubba? Is it okay to call you Bubba? How about that crimson tie? Now, was Bear Bryant a real bear?
The most awkward man in the world.
He's about as welcome there as Neil Young.
Yeah.
All right. Neither Southern man. They don't need neither of them around.
Southern
anyhow.
Man.
Oh, he did it again. Oh, Mittens.
What
Mitt Romney's campaign sent out a press release touting the endorsement of a Alabama paper, but omitted key portions from the paper's editorial that criticized Romney's tax plan as being overly generous to the wealthy. Romney's press release replaced the following paragraph, among others, with ellipses. They said, in fact, this newspaper does not embrace many of the ideas on taxation, which give too great a reward to the wealthy and not enough help for the poor and middle class. Romney has a habit of redacting embarrassing portions from newspaper editorials, having done it several times before.
Wow.
Ellipses. That's what they said. They actually said ellipses here.
You should have pre-redacted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder because the economy's getting better and better. Good news for America, bad news for the Republicans. We added over 220,000 jobs in February. The president on Friday.
Over the past 2 years, businesses have added almost 4 million new jobs.
It's just the Bush recovery.
from the Clinton-Gore recession.
Yes.
Okay, the president again.
More companies are choosing to bring jobs back and invest in America. Manufacturing is adding jobs for the first time since the 1990s. And we're building more things to sell to the rest of the world, stamped with three proud words, Made in America.
What a socialist Muslim terrorist he is. Where does he get off Made in America?
You know, if I didn't know better, I might think John Kasich is getting scared about what's happening to his buddy Scott Wanker.
Yeah, a little
over in Wisconsin. Ohio stiffens regulations after concluding that fracking caused earthquakes. What?
Uh-huh.
I thought it's normal for there to be earthquakes in Ohio all year long. No?
No.
Ohio state regulators announced tough new regulations on Friday after concluding the injection of wastewater underground as part of the controversial gas drilling process known as hydraulic fracturing or fracking had almost certainly caused dozens of earthquakes.
It's like putting WD-40 on a stuck door.
Junk. Wow, John Kasich getting blinded by science. What do you know?
You ever notice when your governor is an idiot?
And a completely unrelated story. In a radio interview with the voice of Christian Youth America, Senator James Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Why do I see white hoods when I hear that?
argued his belief that global warming is a hoax is biblically inspired. Promoting his book, The Greatest Hoax, How the Global Warming Conspiracy Threatens Your Future, Inhofe told the interviewer that on Wednesday that only God can change the climate.
The
idea that man-made pollution could affect the seasons is arrogance.
Poppycock.
By the way, in the interview, he did not mention he has received $1,352,000 in campaign contributions from the oil and gas industry.
Who are God's representatives here on Earth, you see?
Including about $90,000 from the Koch brothers.
Huh.
Oh, Voice of Christian Youth America, they also believe that Obama's birth certificate is a fraud. Muslim extremists have infiltrated the federal government, and the UN has engineered the Agenda 21 program to transform human society through population control and energy use.
I have a list of 200 Muslim extremists in the government. and I see the list.
No.
Oh, do you have my Sopranos theme? Governor Chris Christie, the governor Soros from Virginia, went all Sopranos again on it. Did you see this? Little scuffle at a town hall on Friday morning. He called 34-year-old law student William Brown an idiot. They got into a debate over a plan to rename Rutgers University. After Christie says that Brown and his fellow classmates who are already enrolled at the university will still receive a diploma, Brown interrupts him saying, "What about my son? What about my neighbors? What about my friends?" Or that one's fine, too.
Okay, thanks.
Christie then appears to lose his temper, saying, appears to lose his temper? He said, if you decide what you want me to do is put on a show today, let me tell you, I can go back and forth with you as much as I want. Let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in the courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
Hmm.
He said,
furthermore, I want you dead. I want your family dead. I want your house burned to the ground.
No, he didn't say that part.
Oh, really?
He said, I mean, damn, man, I'm governor. Could you shut up for a second?
Wow.
Thanks. All right.
Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm.
I still say he was wonderful as Bobby on The Sopranos. During a speech, Supreme Court Justice Scalia offered a strange revision of the time he joined with four of his conservative colleagues to make George W. Bush president. Remember that? Remember that? Remember?
Yeah.
When George Bush was appointed president? Remember how much fun that was? At the end of the speech, Scalia took questions from the audience. One person asked about the Bush-Gore case, where the Supreme Court had determined the winner of the election. Get over it, he said. Ha, 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 ha. Scalia reminded the audience that it was Gore who took the election to court, and the election was going to be decided in court anyway, either in the Florida Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court. He said it was a long time ago. People forget it was a 7-2 decision. It wasn't even close. Bush-Gore, by the way, not a 7-2.
7-2? Where did he get that idea? No. And he was there.
Yeah.
Although it is true that the four dissenters divided on how the Florida recount should proceed, two believe there should be a statewide recount of all Florida voters, while two others believed a narrow recount would be acceptable. Not one of the court's four dissenting moderates agreed with Scalia that the winner should effectively be chosen by the five most conservative members of the court.
The thing is, newspapers around the country did their own recount and determined that by any standard, no matter what Chad's or no Chad's, Al Gore won.
Thank you. And now that we're going to be working at Current TV, I will always address him as Mr. President.
There you go.
I'm just saying because it's accurate.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he loves rehashing that all the time.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
I meant President of Current. Okay, whatever. Listen. Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell signed the transvaginal Bob. He signed the bill into law that would require women to receive an ultrasound before having an abortion.
Great.
The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists say, according to ACOG, ultrasonography in pregnancy should be performed only when there's a valid medical indication. So it's actually going against medical association's guidelines.
So they call me transvaginal. Yeah.
All right, that's it for us. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com. Tomorrow, I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.